Hello and welcome to
Let's Clear the Air with me, Jess,
and me, Kaylee. Each week we will be exploring a different theme, the hidden meaning behind it and the impact it's had on our culture. Specifically, looking at our favourite eras and the eras that shaped us, the 90s and noughties.
Hello! Hello, we're back again!
We're back! I'm so excited.
This is very exciting. We've got last week, Barbie, we shot back with our season two and we've had some great feedback. And yeah. It was super exciting just to be back recording and we are back again.
Yeah, I know. And do you know what? It feels like so long ago. We only recorded that a week ago. It feels like forever ago since we recorded, no?
I know. No, it does feel like a while ago to be fair.
Yeah, it does. But I'm excited. Yeah, now we did tease you with what we were talking about last week at the end of last week's episode. If you made it through to there, well done you. And actually, Kieran listened to it, which I was really surprised about. He like came home from work and he was like, I listened to your podcast today.
Thanks for listening, guys. And we will see you all next week.
Make sure to subscribe to our Instagram, which is at let's.clearTheAir. And make sure to subscribe to us on any platform where you listen to us. We're on all the major ones. And yeah, we can't wait to be back next week. And I was like, oh, that's nice of you. He's like, well, I listened to 28 minutes. And I was like, well, you got 10 minutes to go. So
keep listening, boy.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, don't you get enough of like hearing my voice? He's like, it's nice. I enjoyed it. He was like, maybe that it's more female orientated. And I was like, well, we were talking about the Barbie movie. So maybe that's why.
We'll let you have that one, Kieran.
Yeah, we'll let you have it. Screw you. No. But we did tease you with it last week that this week we are going to be talking about Playboy. Now, we are going to be talking about Playboy for the next couple of weeks. And today we are basically focusing on Playboy itself. So the kind of enterprise of Playboy, how it started, the corporation that kind of went afterwards, and it as a brand. So Jess, I think you're going to start off by telling us about the origin of Playboy.
Yes. So a lot of people may or may not know, especially at the moment where it's all out in the open because you've got the secrets of Playboy, you've got the Girls Next Door podcast, Girls Next Level, but actually the very start of the Playboy magazine was when Hef was 27. He launched Playboy's first ever issue, and that was in 1953. It featured Marilyn Monroe in the cover and sold more than 50,000 copies. Now, Marilyn Monroe didn't receive a penny from this issue and this launch. She actually had done some photographs of a photographer before she got famous, and I think they were completely nude, I'm not sure.
And it was under a pseudonym. It wasn't even
yes,
under her name,
it was
under a pseudonym, yeah.
Exactly, and this photographer sold them for £500 to Hugh Hefner, who then launched it in the magazine on the front cover and obviously the inside of the magazine. 50,000 copies on your first ever launch. I mean, that is something to say, but you've basically exploited a movie star.
Yeah, I think, you know, yeah.
Very different times. I think that's the thing to take away here. Like, imagine now if I'd done a photo and someone plastered everywhere, there's copyright, there's all sorts of different things. It's illegal, number one, if I haven't given consent. But back then, it wasn't like that. We didn't have these protections. I mean, even if you go fast forward to Pamela Anderson's sex tape being released, stolen and released, imagine that happening now. You go to prison for that. So it's a sign of the times. And I think, you know, as much as I always say I'm an old soul and I would like to live in them times, I don't think I would, because we were exploited.
Well, I even think just like Playboy itself, when you think of what Playboy is listed as, like originally it's listed as a men's lifestyle magazine for men. And obviously Hugh Hefner managed to, I know he got $1,000 investment from his mum, but the rest, I think he went in with $8,000, was it? And the $7,000 was from investors. Even I think nowadays, if maybe I'm wrong about this, but I don't know if someone was going around saying we're going to make a nude men's lifestyle magazine and I need your investment. And I think people would be like, oh, not, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm not saying that like I'm not kind of commenting on porn or anything like that or nudity. And I think for a lot of women, you know, that is a career for them and they enjoy it. But I think that now you'd struggle more to get those investors and to make that sort of work. So Yeah, I think from a business perspective, incredibly clever though. Like, I know, like, you know, don't go on those too, but I think from a business perspective at that time in 1953, to have bought those photos for kind of $500 and then be making that sort of money, what a turnaround and what a, like, I hate to say
It
clever, but
worked.
it is clever, isn't it? I mean, ultimately,
Yeah.
like, and I think he found himself to be incredibly clever as a
And it
person.
worked.
Yeah.
So just fast forward, obviously that's all kind of growing each month, the magazine's going off. By 1970s, Playboy was selling 7 million copies per month. So you can imagine the revenue they were producing
Yeah,
there.
me.
And that's when Hef opened up the Playboy clubs, where members would enter using their own key. It's like a secret VIP kind of place to go. I think the thing is with that is when you get a lot of rich people coming together, is there any exploitation going on? And from research and from people speaking out, there is a lot of dark underbelly of the Playboy brand during this time.
Yeah. I mean, I
There
suppose
is.
ultimately you've got a question, like, why was that even opened in the seventh? Like, if you were to sit him down and be like, but why did you open that? Like, I totally understand, like, the key and like the secrecy of it. And you know, there's lots of elite clubs, you know, like the 1% club, like there's loads of things even in the UK and worldwide that are for like the elite. But what was the reasoning for it? Like, what I don't know.
Well,
Do you, I mean, it always had
Hef
that
kind
women
of.
and that it was always about like sex and women, and it always had
Yeah.
that exploitation attached to it. It wasn't just like a here's a club that only you can come to. It is all about women, isn't it?
I think there's a fine line with things, because obviously Hef comes in with the idea of sexual liberation, and that was the whole front of Playboy. He would say, it's the sexual liberation. People should be free to do what they want, behave how they want, blah, blah, blah. But along with that, there also becomes predators. Now, from the mists of time, there's always been predators. Now, even if I spoke to you briefly the other day, and I said to you, watch this series about Lingard, Peter Lingard, I think his name was. And he was, again, he was a fashion designer, and he had loads and loads of wealth. And there was so many stories of, sexual abuse, rape, underage kids, women trafficking, all of these things. And this comes along with the territory, and that's where it gets quite frightening, because as much as we all like to have a good time, we'd all like to have a party, especially in our 20s. Well, that's when you do it. Your late teens or your early 20s, it's party time. It's exploring yourself, understanding yourself. But when you've got 50-odd-year-old men coming into the scene with a hell load of money, and they can get away with what they want, they're paying off whoever they want, it's now like a dodgy cult. It's now an undercover. It's no longer safe. And I think the idea of sexual liberation also means safety. And I don't know, from what I've been reading, what I've been hearing, the different podcasts I've listened to, the different accounts from women who are, accuse a lot of the Playboy enterprises of all sorts, there needs to be a safety. And if the key person has been accused of some really awful things, I mean, Sondra Theodore was one of the former models and actresses. She dated Hef in the 70s and 80s, and she has made some big accusations against Hef, and that includes sodomizing women. It includes, like with animals, Hef filming them privately and taking pictures. And that also went on into a more recent account from Holly Madison. So, if there's a lot of these things being said, were they there? And if you're ahead of something like that, you've got to also ensure their safety, because Bill Cosby was at these Playboy Mansion parties. He's been accused of absolute awful things, and all the other people that were there, like that Peter Lingard, Nygaard, sorry, Peter Nygaard, he is in prison now. I think I've got his name right, because otherwise I'm going to have a lawsuit on my hands here, outing someone who's not even anything to do with it. He's in prison now for his crimes, and he'd attended the, it can be a place that's very dangerous, and it attracts predators, and
Yeah,
that's where you've got to find the line.
I definitely think it was a layer for predators. And I think also, like with the clubs and stuff, I think that sexual liberation, I think the minute that you add in drugs and alcohol to that, kind of consent goes out the window. And like for me, if I have two glasses of wine, I don't know, not like, but do you know what I'm saying? Like it is, I'm not the same person, or I don't necessarily. it's just different, isn't it? Like you're not a sound mind sounds weird, but you're not, are you? You're not
No,
completely
of
aware of what
course.
you're doing, and
No.
therefore, if you have women that you're paying, not paying, but like it is the same. Even if we, I know we're going to talk about that more, but even with like the girlfriends that Hugh Hefner had, he is ultimately paying to give them a lifestyle, but therefore expects, you know, there's these like rules, there's this
Yeah.
control, there's this not allowed to, you know, that is predatory behavior, having so many rules and regulations on a human being. You shouldn't have that. That's not sexual liberation. That's not freedom of a relationship. You are just restricting another human being for what?
Yeah,
Power and
and I think
control.
things are very much on, if we do look at the times, like back in the when Hef was born, I don't even think in that era, it was the wife stayed at home, cooked, had the kids
No, he didn't
and
even
the
vote. Couldn't even vote.
yeah, this is what I mean. So things have really changed around, but it there's so many different parts of Playboy, and that's why it's so hard to completely dissect, because as as much as there's bad, there's also things that really helped forward the thought process of humans, change things around. Like Hef had one of the first models, she had HIV, and he had her in the magazine to try and just get it accepted and understand it more, because people just had a really bad idea of AIDS, and it's like, oh my gosh, you're a leper. That's how they were
Yeah,
treated back then.
absolutely.
And Hef was kind of breaking that down, and all of the good, but there is so much bad, and it's hard to kind of work out where you stand
And
on something so deep.
I suppose it's different when you know that era. Like we can talk, like, so for me, I only really am looking in from the outside. Does that, like, do you know what I mean? Like, I
Exactly.
growing up, I didn't have an idea of Playboy. I just remember there being a bunny and clothing and items
Yeah.
that had this bunny on it. It was quite a childlike thing when I looked at it. It was pink, it was cute, it was a bunny. I didn't know anything about a magazine. My dad didn't have it. Like, that porn wasn't a thing in my house growing up. I know that sounds weird, but like, do you get what I'm saying? Like,
Of course.
I wasn't aware of like nude magazines, anything like that. So I didn't have an awareness of what Playboy is. And I suppose my opinion now that I'm forming is looking back, and it's very different now in 2023 looking back at something that's 70 years old, you know, and it is
Yeah.
now more of a corporation that is selling more commercial things than it is what it started out with. So I suppose maybe we could talk about what we think of Playboy and those times. Like, to you, what is Playboy? Like, oh, growing up, were you aware of Playboy? What was it to you?
Yeah, it was. It to me, it was very similar, because it was, it peaked in the 70s. That's when it was its height. Then it kind of dwindled off, and then it came back with like the reality show. So that launched Playboy again, but it launched it in a way that wasn't about nude women. I didn't think to myself, oh, loads of naked women. I saw the fluffy pillows, the necklace, the Playboy tracksuit, the Playboy pajamas. I saw Holly, Bridget, and Kendra, and I was like, I want to live their life. And I was obsessed with the TV series. I watched it religiously at my nan's in the morning. I'd wake up first, go down, and watch it on MTV. And it showed me a lifestyle that was fun and energetic and caring, and it just represented to me. I had Playboy pillows, had Playboy covers on my bed, and it was representing to me a lifestyle of fun and safety, because that's what it looks like from the
It
outside.
does,
You,
yeah.
when it was marketed, I think even Holly Madison said, and this isn't a quote unquote, this is just what I remember her saying, that when they launched the program, I don't think they thought how much it would appeal to the young girls. So then they realized what their audience were. I think they were trying to figure out their audience when they were making the show, and it was like, when they realized it was more for young girls, it was like, oh, that's strange, because you're expecting it to be a trip into the Playboy mansion, which was all these secret sexual parties. Well, you don't obviously market that to teenagers, or maybe you do, I don't know, in that world. But it that's what happened, and that's why I didn't look at it thinking, oh, this is vile. I didn't ever look at it thinking, ooh. I looked at, wow, what a cool life, that's crazy. And I think it shaped a lot of the noughties, kind of this glamour model idea of, oh, the Jodie Marshes, the Katie Prices. It shaped a lot of that, because it became such a cult. And not in, like, I'm not talking about like Mike, what's his name, Charles Manson type cult. I'm talking about, like, it just became like a thing, didn't it? Everyone loved Playboy, and it relaunched the whole brand, I think. And Playboy was just, yeah, to me, it just meant fun.
Yeah, just fun girls party and friendship, like, and I think in
Yeah.
a way, like the Girls Next Door, what I find sometimes a bit upsetting is that, so just so everyone's aware, like basically, like I said, I didn't really have an awareness of Playboy, but Jess spoke to me, I think it was in like April, you were telling me about how much you loved like Girls Next Door, this reality show about the girlfriends at the
Yeah.
Playboy Mansion. So I've now got completely addicted in the last 4 months, like watched it all, listened to their podcast, love it, love it, love it, listened to both of Holly Madison's books, great. And I suppose what I find a little bit upsetting sometimes when I watch the show is it gives this like empowerment in a way. Like I think all three women, like their spirit, the studying, they're like you get so much happiness and excitement from them and fulfillment. But then actually, you know, it's a bit like The Wizard of Oz, isn't it? Like it's kind of like this show, and then you peek behind. I suppose I think Holly Madison actually said that, didn't she, in her book? But it really is. And then you peek behind, you actually, this whole show, this whole facade. I mean, they weren't even paid for the first, what was it, 6 or 8 episodes of the first series. Like it is all being controlled by men, whether that's Kevin, the producer of the series, whether that's Hef and how he wants to be perceived, or he wants them to be perceived, what they can wear, where they're going, their curfew, you know. Oh, I don't know. It just, I feel like it was suggested to be something empowering, and it is empowering for young women, and yet it's the complete opposite. And those
In that era, that was happening a lot. Like, look at these really wealthy, white, powerful men, the Epstein stuff that was going on, the Hefner stuff that was going on. Then you've got like I've just recently
Weinstein.
the Weinstein stuff, the Peter Nygaard stuff. There's always seems to be these rich, so wealthy white businessmen that own something mega. And there's always this sexual exploitation in the background. And I noticed it the other day when I was looking at that Nygaard documentary on Discovery Plus. And I just thought to myself, this has been an ongoing thing from those eras. It is just no wonder like our grandparents and our mothers, they had a difficult time because they had a lot to cope with. Like most of these women wouldn't even speak up if there was sexual exploitation because they knew they was all being paid off by the police were being paid off by these big corporations. And it's a tricky era to dissect because you've got one end of the scale, Hef exclaiming sexual liberation. Some women coming out of the Playboy era absolutely loved it. They had the best time of their lives. They experienced it very differently. And then you've got others that had these awful experiences. And it's like, you know, there is diff it's a fact quite clearly from the people coming out with their stories that some people are lucky and don't have all the bad stuff behind it. They have great memories because they enjoyed their parties. They felt actually sexually liberated. But then you've got the point where because another person may not have that same feeling of sexual liberation, then they're being raped. Then it's such a tricky
Yeah,
one to
it
decipher.
literally, if I'm honest, I feel uncomfortable talking about it. Like
So do I,
I
yeah.
because I feel like I'm walking on eggshells, not walking on eggshells, but I feel like it's such muddy waters. Like
It
there's
is, it really
so
is.
much, and you know that you've got so many elements of it, like the corporation, the business, then Hugh Hefner. I think, do you know what? A big thing of the Playboy thing, and I think this is why now Playboy has massively tried to distance themselves from Hugh Hefner, is there's a big difference, isn't there, between Playboy as a successful magazine for men, like you said, that Liberated gave so many women opportunities, your playmates, your models, et cetera, and then Hugh Hefner. But unfortunately, Playboy is always going to be Hugh
It's Hugh
Hefner because
Hefner.
it was his life, his baby, his machine.
He was the
And
original Playboy.
exactly, Playboy Mansion, you know. And I think that's where so much of the young, like, what are we really talking about? Are we talking about business or are we talking about a man? And I think that's a really hard thing, isn't it? You know, and also the people that he allowed himself to be by, like you're saying, a lot of them are like predatory and things like that. And also, it is really uncomfortable because it's so difficult, isn't it, to say for women what did Playboy do? Because actually, for some women, it elevated and did so much, didn't it? I mean, like, you know, Pamela Anderson only has great things to say about Hugh
Right.
Hefner, you know, like,
Exactly.
and
And it's all on perspective here. It can't be done in like, oh, because she said that, that must be true. And because he said that, that must be true. It's too deeper than that because there are accounts and accusations of really awful sexual exploitation
Yeah.
to another degree. But there's also the other side where people didn't have that experience. Doesn't
Yeah.
mean one's not true and one's not. It can still be both true within the same subject,
Yeah.
because one person has a different experience. Doesn't mean the other person's isn't
Yeah.
true. And I think, you know, like we said, these type of conversations and these type of places, unfortunately, do attract certain types of predatory behaviors. But when you're putting it under the safety of Playboy, and then it's not actually safe, maybe for some, that's when I think you get poor young women that are going there. Maybe I think a lot of the playmates have said a lot of the time it was women that were trying to run away from something, or they didn't have great home lives, or they didn't have much money. They were trying to survive, and that's why they were easily to be made playmates, because
and girlfriends
needed to control.
Yeah, and ultimately that makes sense, doesn't it? Because you would, if you're gonna, you know, give somebody or give them a life where there's constant rules, regulations, and control over them, you can't have somebody who's gonna say, "Well, no."
Yeah, exactly. I earn 50 grand a month anyway, mate.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not going to happen, is it?
As if, you know, you are looking for vulnerable women who are in certain places of their life, very much so, probably their early 20s, looking to find themselves, their careers, things like that. Yeah. And he
and
knew
what
he was doing.
Myself. Exactly. And I look back at myself from my early 20s. I was so lost. Like, I was lost. And that's all I can explain. I still find myself lost sometimes. But, I mean, at that point, I didn't know who I was, what I stood for. That so much had gone on in my life already that was tragic, and I didn't have a clue who I was. Now, if you're scared, you've grown up with things that weren't nice, and you just want safety and you want love. I know for a fact, if I was 20 and the Playboy doors opened, the thing for me said, "Look, you've got all these lovely women around you. You'll be safe. I'm gonna love you." From what I was, where I was, to this feeling of safety, I'd have probably ran in there. As fast as I possibly could, like Speedy Gonzalez. Like it was that it represented something of safety. So I do, a lot of people are always like, well, they knew what they're getting into. And it's like, no, I don't
no, they
think
didn't.
You do.
No,
I
don't
think
they did.
If you really think about it, if you're going for people that have had a really tough time, you're gonna want a better life. And that looks like a much better life. It looks like a safety life. It looks like you've got people around you, you've got money, because let's be honest. A lot of these women, if you leave home, you're homeless. That's it. And you know, I can understand the mindset. That's what I'm trying to say,
absolutely.
Is I can understand the mindset of why you would run into that. And like I said, I would. It represented safety. If you watch the TV show The Girls Next Door, it was safety. It was love. It was community. And people that haven't grown up with any of that, you crave that, because the human mind craves safety.
And it's a bit of a, I don't know if that's the right wording, but a glass house effect, isn't it? Like, you can have judgment, but I think once you're in that position, you're in that world, you're only judging something to the parameters in which you're living in. So that's your life, isn't it? So like, if you're in that world, I mean, I know that the girls who were there for most of their 20s have spoken about how they came out, and it's like it hits you, doesn't it? Because life
vortex,
is very different.
Like,
exactly. And I think it's the same as me. I only judge things around the parameters of my life. I'm not judging it as a 50-year-old bloke with 20 million in the bank. Do you know what I mean? Like, we're all
only
evaluating
know it from our
things.
Perspective.
Exactly. And I think for the women who have gone into it, it's been sold to them, as any of our lives do, whatever choices we make, a lot of the time is sold to us in some way or another. And they've made that decision, they've walked into it, and then the parameters of their judgment and what the life is set out by the world they're living in. And I think that that was
very
Hugh
good.
Hefner. Yeah, and Playboy. And I think that the people that have walked away from it and loved it haven't necessarily been the number one girlfriend, or been, I know they've all been through experiences, but not maybe been, it's so
well,
difficult. Even now I feel uncomfortable with what I'm going to say. Yeah.
No, I know it is difficult, because at the same time, I would never want to discredit or do anyone's, you know, injustice to their experiences, because that is the point. They are all individual experiences of a certain time.
Exactly.
And some people may have a good experience of that and some people bad. And you know, it doesn't discredit the bad, because we've talked about someone that said something good.
Yeah.
But it also doesn't discredit that person's really suffered in that time.
It makes me really sad that, I mean, don't get me wrong, I know that the first series of The Secrets of Playboy was sort of diminish in health and things like that. But it does make me sad that so many people that come forward with their stories in the tabloids or in life, they end up, I'm so sorry as well for random noises. It's my dog that just keeps shaking or jumping up on somewhere being a nightmare. But I think it's really sad that women, and I suppose some men that were around her, they just go and discredit each other and go on at each other and you know, they turn against each other rather than actually like addressing the person who is the issue. Like I think that I think that's really sad that they pick on each other's story and they discredit it and they call them names and things like that when they could have been at the Playboy Mansion 20 years apart and things like that. And I think that's so ridiculous. And you're not actually addressing the person that set out all these rules and these, you know, these strange way, not, see, that's a judgment, but it is, you know, they are, it's not conforming to normal life, is it? It's strange ways of
and like you hear Holly Madison's kind of accounts of, you know, the bedroom routine where they had to go up. None of them girls wanted to do it. They were all pretty there saying, oh, we just hop, like, so as crude as this sounds, like hop on and hop off sort of thing. And the next one goes on and talking about sex, obviously. But it's like, you know, there's, they didn't, the way it's spoken about, it's like they had to do that or you're kind of out of the mansion. And if that is, you know, if everyone's doing it because that's the lifestyle you need to keep, it's a scary thing, isn't it? Because like I said, a lot of the women that are in this position are there because they're trying to escape something else. And it's terrifying, really, that we live in a world where that's kind of just the given and it's your choices. And it's like, oh, if she's like that, well, that she made that choice. But maybe she didn't have the upbringing you did. When you have these judgments of Holly, Kendra, or any of the bloody Playboy playmates,
remember, which you there don't are know thousands.
Hundreds of thousands.
Thousands,
you don't know what they've come from. You don't know if they've come from a sexual abuse history and they were running for their lives and they had to get out and then they got saved by Playboy and that's why they're doing it. I think people are so easy to judge and be like, oh, you're basically a sex worker. That's what they say. And the girls always constantly say how hard it was for them to like be in the kind of place where it was that wherever they go, it's asked about the sex. And it's like, they don't feel comfortable. They probably didn't want to be doing it. Let's be honest. I think Holly's made that very clear that at the beginning, or she didn't want to be engaging in this group sex. But when you've come from something maybe not so stable, or if you've had, I mean, I don't know about Holly's background too much, but I don't, you know, I can't really speak on just a specific person, but on other girls, they have come forward and said, you know, I had this bad upbringing and I was running and I ran into the lion's den almost.
Yeah.
Who are we to judge?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, I think it's what I find mad is that the magazine's still going.
Is like it really? I thought it went out of publish.
No, so well, yeah, because it's technically online now. So basically, the Playboy magazine, it ran monthly from 1953 to 2016, then bi-monthly for 2017 to 2018. And really randomly, for a year, I think it was 2016 to 2017, they abolished nude modelling.
Okay. So they wouldn't do
nude modeling, but then they brought it back in 2017, and then it was a quarterly magazine from 2019 to 2020, and then it went online from 2020, so it's still online. But now apparently I did hear someone talking about that, it was probably the podcast to be fair, where they were talking about how it's like a subscription, so it's kind of like an OnlyFans, like the way that they do it.
I've seen that they're doing like an OnlyFans type, because I've just gone onto the Playboy website and it's featured bunnies and it is very much OnlyFans
vibes
kind of style now.
Isn't that funny? Yeah, it's madness. I do have some random things as well that you might have read this as well, is that I didn't realise, so I've never actually, do you know what I think would be really interesting if I could get my hands on a Playboy magazine? So I've never read one.
No, I've never had one in my hand, I don't think. No. But I used to, so this is actually going back, I used to have, I printed off the Playboy covers and put them in my room, like the Pammy ones.
Did
or
you?
the Girls Next Door one with the black, in the black
the clock, like where sheet. They had the bed sheet,
and see, that's what I mean, ours must have been about 14 when I had them on my wall. And it did change an innocence, I guess, of a generation, But then again, saying what's not innocent, I don't know. It's a tough one. It's glamour. I wanted to aspire to be glamour at that point, and
Yeah,
I
I think
wasn't.
it, yeah, maybe I think it normalized nude modeling, which is great and fine, but it also maybe didn't talk about the effects that that has on someone's life if you do open up that can of worms. There's nothing wrong with that. It's
Yes,
just the
agreed.
implications that have that come with it, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I didn't realize that inside of them, they would have short stories. And there's just a couple of really random people that I think that's so mental that they wrote short stories for Playboy. Roald Dahl.
No way.
Yeah. And Margaret
That's
Atwood.
crazy.
Margaret
That has
Atwood.
surprised me.
Like the leading voice of female empowerment. And yeah, I just thought that was really random. Like not a bad way. I just think like
It's
that's just
random.
madness.
I
Yeah.
think that's the thing with Playboy. There is so much to dissect, and that is why people are going wild about it now. Because when we look back, we've gone through the era of the so-called sexual liberation. We've gone through the, hang on a minute, what's going on under here, on the underbelly of it all. We've now gone into the more women are sticking up for themselves and saying, well, this is not okay. Men that have money can't just keep doing this and getting away with it. Some, but there's also the other side where some people are, like absolutely loved all that. It all depends on your perspective. And that's why it's so easy to, well, not easy. It's eggshells, like you said, to delve into it. But at the
But
heart of it's just trying to figure out what, in a way, is acceptable to us as a human race and what isn't. And I think the crux of it is having sex with someone that doesn't want to have sex with you, rape, it is unacceptable and it cannot be going
yeah,
on
without
anymore.
question. And I think ultimately it does open up a wider question and makes you think in your own life. Like ultimately, I think that with Playboy and with everything that's come out and with Hugh and with the corporation, everything like that, I think we are bred and should just listen to everyone. I think that there's no reason why we can't take in lots of different accounts, take friends from that, and that's what we should be using to then learn for the future. I think that it shouldn't be judgment. It shouldn't be I'm going to jump on you and cancel you if you say that, or you shouldn't be able to talk about what you want to talk about. It should just be everyone is allowed to come forward, talk about their stories and their opinions on it. They're valid. Their
Yeah,
lives are
and
valid.
experiences.
Exactly. And we should all just learn from that in our own lives. And I think things like Playboy, in I think misogyny, putting women into cruel situations, ones that will last a lifetime for them. And for others who have had a great time, that's great. But I think that I think even if there's 1,000 people that had a wonderful time, if there's 10 that went through such traumatic things, it's not a good thing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, agreed. Yeah.
I think it's the thing is, do we ever learn though? I think it's really difficult. I think we can talk about Playboy for hours, and I think probably there's something going on that we're not aware of in the underbelly. And I think that's
Of
the really
course.
sad thing. And I think that's sometimes what, don't know about you, but like I see all these documentaries coming out on like Discovery Plus about these predators and that, and I just think, fucking hell, like it's like it doesn't change. You know what I mean? We're
It's
bringing down
frightening.
these. It is so
Yeah.
frightening,
I was
so
looking at the
frightening.
Discovery Plus, the documentaries recently, and it has just been like the Epstein, the Weinstein, the Nye Guards, the Playboy. Like it's like this has just been, there is an elite of people that have just been up there for a long time, and it's only now that things are coming to light where things are and are not acceptable. And if anything, as much as it's hurtful and scary to watch, and I guess this even links to what we were saying about Barbie the other week, as much as it's hurtful to see like shit that's been going on the whole time and people have been manipulated and hurt and it's scary, I think as much as it hurts to watch it and it kind of causes pain within you because you're like, have this happened to me? Have I been manipulated? This kind of thing. Then you're like, okay, at least now for our next generation, we've got more things in place, and that's why it's important to talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. Well, here we are.
Here we are. So that was kind of our history of Playboy, and kind of it's not just a history though, is it? Because we were talking about the allegations. We haven't gone into depth of those, but it's also our feelings. It's hard to talk about. I do actually believe this is a hard subject to talk
It's a
about,
really hard subject to talk about.
to dissect, because it doesn't feel nice to talk about these things that were happening to women. It's not nice. So, yes, that was the history of Playboy, and we're going to continue into next week, but we're breaking it down because there is just too much otherwise.
Way too much. So next week we're going to take a bit, probably a bit of a lighter tone in next week's episode, where we will be talking more about the Girls Next Door TV show and what it, more about the women and more about kind of how it all worked with that than Hugh Hefner and Playboy itself.
Exactly. So we'll look forward to seeing you all next week for Playboy
Thanks.
Part 2.
Yeah, thanks for listening. See you next week.
Thanks for listening, guys, and we will see you all next week.
Make sure to subscribe to our Instagram, which is at let's.clearthe air, and make sure to subscribe to us on any platform where you listen to us. We're on all the major ones. And yeah, we can't wait to be back next week.